Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio, this is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Here are your hosts, Vic Carucci and Nathan Zagora.
Hi, everybody, from Berea. It's Tuesday, and if you're an NFL rookie, Cleveland is on your map this week. It is the NFL Rookie Symposium Week. The NFC rookies were here in Berea and around other spots in Cleveland today. The AFC rookies will be coming up later on in the week. I'm Jim Donovan, along with Michael Regei. We were paired up here together yesterday, and I'll tell you what, Michael, that was a ball. We're back today, and we got a lot to talk about. A busy day, a great show, so we hope that you're going to be with us. And there is a lot going on, some 3.5, 4 weeks away from the commencement of training camp.
Really is, Jimmy. And, yeah, we had a fast-paced 2 hours yesterday, and we're going to do our very best to provide the same today, Browns Nation. So hang and hustle with Jimmy and I. And, again, you mentioned the NFC rookies in for the symposium today. Cleveland is the mecca of the NFL world here for the rooks. And Jimmy, then the AFC rookies, including the Browns rookies, will be here later in the week.
Yeah. On our Ohio Business Machines Hot Topics of the Day, this floored me. Last night, Mike Florio, ProFootballTalk.com, on his website, publishes an article early in the evening last night, Michael, that came out and floored me because it involved Josh Gordon. And he went on to write and detail the fact that not only are we not about to hear about the Josh Gordon suspension, how long it's going to be, when it commences, when it will end, what the ramifications are of the failed drug test that has put him in this situation, but the NFL has not even scheduled the appeal hearing. They not only haven't heard it, but it's not even on the docket. And here we are on July 26th, and the Browns are getting ready to open up training camp and would like an answer on this thing, and now word one hasn't been heard.
Two things strike me about it, Jimmy, and I kind of felt the very same as you did. Now, Mike Florio, as we know, is very highly regarded and has always maintained a strong presence as far as league workings, right?
Yes.
Like this.
Yeah.
Very much so. I mean, you see him with Al Michaels and Bob Costas and Chris Colley on Sunday nights.
Right.
So he's always been very strongly connected. That having been said, Jimmy, and you and I touched on this yesterday, I mean, this is all well and good. Now, if this is a fact, though, this is really starting to handcuff the Cleveland Browns. And again, you and I aren't homers or pom-pom waivers, but again, the longer this goes, this is the definition of an unfair disadvantage to me.
Oh, absolutely. It has shackled the Browns right now.
No question.
Because I think that they've been waiting, and I think the Browns have been like all of us, that any minute now we're going to get the ruling on this thing, but the appeal has not been heard. So even yesterday when Michael and I were here on Cleveland Browns Daily and talking about this, we thought that the fact that there was a lot of space in between the flunk test, the notification that you did flunk it, the appeal process going on, that we thought maybe that there was going to be some leniency exercise here, and maybe it would be a smaller than expected suspension. And of course, the one that says that is expected is a year-long ban from the league. Mm-hmm. And here it is right now that you know, there's been no steps taken towards getting any kind of closure on this.
No. And then you throw in, and again, everybody wants to discuss, and you know, I'm always a big proponent of take care of your own house and worry about your own situations. But Jimmy, again, you can't help but, because of the egregiousness of Ray Rice, Aldon Smith, Robert Mathis.
Right.
I mean, and this is, and now word comes, as I mentioned yesterday, and I still think this is a part of it, that is the NFL about to lessen or be less stringent with marijuana usage?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you still have that, because everything indicates to us the answer to that is yes, right?
Yeah.
They're going to start looking at, take a real sincere look at, all right, maybe we got to change this a little bit and not make it as, you know, as heavy as it's been. So you put all those things together, and none of this adds up. None of this adds up. Why that this continues to out there drag and linger, and it's putting the Browns in a bad position going forward with their football team.
Well, because you don't know what to do with this guy right now. I mean, you know, you'd love to have him in there, and there's no question about it. 1,646 yards last year, and remember, he missed two games. So you'd love to have him in there, but now you say, if you have him in there, and in this lag time of waiting for this, are you wasting, time giving him and folks, you're going to hear something, and you heard it with Gerard yesterday when he was on with us too, Gerard Cherry, and that is the word reps, okay? And reps become gold bricks to players because reps are, you know, times in practice when you're out there on the field and you're going to get involved in the play. That's the rep. It's everything to a quarterback. How many reps did you get? How many plays were you under center? How many plays were you the wide receiver? How many times were you with the number ones, the number twos? Well, in training camp, everything is measured. Everything is charted. Now, if you start giving Gordon a lot of reps when he's not going to be there, then you're wasting a little bit of time where you could be using time on other guys who are going to be playing for you or who to play for you.
Now, remember last year now, We knew this was coming with Josh, and he was three of the four preseason games. Did he play in Chicago?
I'm not trying to remember. He did play in Chicago. I'll tell you why, because they wanted to make sure that he was active.
I remember not the first snap of the game. Yeah, Hoyer hit him, hit him on that that go route on the sideline. right guy. He played in Chicago. Right. That's right. We only called it.
I don't know if he was really happy he played that night, but he did play.
But he did play. That's right. So... But yes, again, how are you going to, if you're the Browns, go about all of the reps so pertinent that you just mentioned, Jimmy? How are you going to establish that? How much are you going to have him work with the ones when you get started on July 26th? And then what are you going to do in the preseason? Yeah. Are you going to play him?
Yeah. Why?
Are you going to play him? Because you can.
Even
if it's a full year, you can play him.
Right? I don't think if it's a full year.
I thought it started the season.
Yeah, no.
Okay.
I think if it's a full year, he's out.
Anything 6-8
short of that,
you could play him.
Right.
Yeah. If you choose to.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, it was the same way with Joe Hayden the year before that. They played him.
That's right.
And, you know, got him ready because they knew 4 weeks in. Then after that, he played the opening game of the regular season.
He did.
Then Joe's suspension went into effect. But if it is a whole year, he's got to go.
Yeah.
And he can't be around at all.
No, he can't. You're right. He can't be around at all. But the thing is, and this could get in another area if you want, to me, I mean, and if that is the case, while it'll be severely damaging, again, to me, if I'm the Browns, I don't believe there's any reason to release him, Jim, and cut him. I've always been of the opinion, to me, and look,
Here's what I'm worried about, Michael.
This tests me a lot.
Yeah, right.
But I do not want to see him if he's going to go, you know, pardon a pun, if he's going to flame out, you know, it's got to be as a Cleveland Brown to me.
Well,
it's got to be as a Cleveland Brown, because if he gets back and starts to perform at the level, he's 22 years old.
I know. The only thing I worry about is there's such a pattern here. You know,
there's no question about that.
It was at Baylor. Something happened at Utah. Okay, that drove him to the supplemental draft, and you know, Tom Hecker took the flyer on him, which was very interesting. Gave up a second round pick to get him. And it's why a lot of people stayed off of it. They were going to go later, but not a second round
pick.
Well,
I think he knew Buffalo was going to, remember, it goes in inverse order. Buffalo was going to. So he had to go too.
Yeah. So I mean, you know, and then, you know, then it happened here, and now it's happened. Obviously, it seems like it's happened here again. But I mean, it's amazing. So last night that broke that, you know, the NFL has not heard it, nor is it on the schedule to be heard yet. And here the Browns are getting ready for training camp. And I think the Browns, when they left minicamp here, Mike Pettine was saying, you know, we're waiting and we have scenarios built. We're ready for whatever the decision is. But yeah, we would like some clarity on it. Aaron Rodgers made an interesting comment, and that was that young quarterbacks, Michael, who play on bad teams really should sit on the bench for a couple of years. Now, he did.
Yes, he did.
3 years.
He wasn't on a bad football team.
But he wasn't on a bad team.
but he sat.
He was not on a bad team.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, he was behind Brett Favre, and, of course, it really worked out then. When he came in, he was ready to go. I don't know nowadays if you can afford to have a young quarterback. If you take a young quarterback very high in the draft, and, of course, you know, a lot of teams are now, and I don't know if you can really wait that long. I mean, yeah, that is the perfect world to let a guy sit – and you know, watch and soak up and be coached on the side and learn how to do it. But I think the reality is, in the NFL, it's a fast-moving league, and it's faster every year, and contracts are ticking, and there's a lot of money laid out, and you got to get them in.
You're right, Jimmy, and the only thing I keep referencing is that 2011 draft that became quarterback-heavy toward that, what, they went 8, 10, and 12. When I see that, I continue to look at Blaine Gabbert and Christian Ponder and Jake Locker as the poster boys because, Jimmy, look, here we are 3 years later.
Right.
And are any of those three guys I mentioned a quarterback that you'd say elite? Forget about elite. It's even shown they could take their football team to the playoffs.
No.
And look where they were drafted.
Right.
And they were all pressed into service right away.
Yeah.
None of them have distinguished themselves.
And
none of them.
And Brandon
Weeden.
And Brandon Weeden.
Ryan Tannehill, the jury's still out. But that 11 draft when Gabbert, Ponder, Locker went bang, bang, bang.
Yeah.
And everybody thought, what?
Yeah.
But most of them were thought as late ones, if not twos.
Right.
And here they go in the top half of the draft.
Yeah. So Aaron Rodgers, he said, and he understands, and he pointed out, you know, especially the guys this year, and he named Manziel, and he thinks what Jacksonville is doing is very effective
with Bortles,
what they're going to do with Bortles.
Well, let's see
if that
sustains the entire year, though.
Mm-hmm.
That's their plan.
Yeah. Bridgewater down in Minnesota. Bridgewater was
Same
here
thing.
As part of the NFC rookie symposium. We'll hear from him in a couple of moments. As we said, we have a loaded show today. Jeff Darlington's going to join us from the NFL Network. He's covering the NFC Rookie Symposium and the NFL Rookie Symposium. Carl Peterson is going to join us. 20 years in the with the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah.
Built the Chiefs up. Marty Schottenheimer, a big part
That's
of that.
That's right.
Dick Vermeil. Took a run with Dick Vermeil to bring him in there.
Romeo
Crennel and all those guys. And then gave way there. He's part of USA Football right now, which, of course, is very important, especially with the concussion issue and how they're really trying to educate coaches, young players, and really, Michael, kind of reteach the game. You know, reteach how to tackle, how to play, how to coach the game so that, you can protect with better helmets and better gear, but really better fundamentals is going to be the key to teaching kids all over again now how to play, not lead with the crown of your head and things like that.
That's exactly right. And St. Ignatius's coaching icon, Chuck Kyle, has been a large part of the program.
Right.
And he has always been at the forefront of the teaching of the different fundamentals, as you mentioned, that takes safety and players' health into account.
Now, Carl also brought Ray Farmer into the NFL City as a pro personnel director. So we'll get his thoughts on what kind of job Ray is going to do here. We're going to go with our NFL Blitz today. We're going to check in with Houston and Denver and talk with people there in those posts and see how those teams are faring up as they get ready for the start of camp. Denver coming off the great year, but the horrible Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
And how they're handling that. Houston dealing with the fact that Bill O'Brien's there now, having left Penn State, and naming Ryan Fitzpatrick as their quarterback.
Yeah, and I mean, Bill O'Brien is a quarterback guy, as we know, rather still famous for the battles or at least the challenges he had with Tom Brady on the sidelines as quarterback coach for Bill Belichick
in the game against Washington Redskins.
Jimmy, I was shocked that I really thought it was either Bortles or Manziel, given their need for a quarterback, and because of O'Brien being that guy.
Mm-hmm.
I was very surprised that they did not take one. Tom Savage? They
Tom
took
Savage,
Savage
out of pit, yeah.
In the what round? Fourth?
Yes. Yeah,
fourth round?
Right in there,
I was surprised by that.
Yeah. Savage was one of those guys that got a lot of role later as the draft approached.
He did.
That, he had a lot, there were people like Phil Simms really came out very high on Tom Savage.
Cookie cutter mold, 6'4", 235 pounds, strong arm kid who could make all the throws.
But what, Michael, he was in a ton of places, wasn't he?
Rutgers.
Didn't he go to Arizona State?
Then he went to Arizona State, and then he came back to Pitt.
Pitt, yeah.
It was at three schools.
Right. So he did it like one a year.
Yeah.
Okay? Here's the other thing, Michael. In the wake of the big news today in the sports world that LeBron James has opted out of his deal, informed the Miami Heat that he's opted out of his deal and will become a free agent, I'm amazed at, and I want to get your thoughts on this, I'm amazed at the ability of certain athletes, and LeBron being at the top of the list, but some other people too, who can totally control a league. LeBron totally controls the NBA. And I think to some extent, Michael, when Peyton Manning left the Indianapolis Colts, mm-hmm. he controlled the league in that mm-hmm. offseason as to what they were going to do. He took that tour of, do I go to Miami?
Right.
Do I go to Denver? Do I go somewhere else?
It's a pretty good analogy, and I guess it does show that when you're that elite and you have that much ability, not only that win, of course, but to brand and to market
mm-hmm.
and to be global for your sport.
Right.
Don't think for a minute that the professional leagues don't know that. And they're going to, if you need a cushy landing spot, they'll find one for
you.
Yeah.
But it really is amazing how a guy like that, and of course, baseball's had that too. Alex Rodriguez. Manny Ramirez.
Manny.
The year that he was going to leave the Indians.
The Indians, right.
Albert Bell to some extent when he left the Indians. That happens in all sports. You take a look at the NFL and you go way back, and you remember this one, Art Modell really thought that they were going to get Reggie White. Reggie White was really the go-to guy to get, and he signed with the Green Bay Packers. And I remember at one time people would say, nobody's ever going to go up to
Green
Bay,
Bay
and become a free agent, and especially an African-American athlete.
That's
would
right.
never go up and live in Green Bay. Reggie White went up to Green Bay.
And loved it.
Yeah, and loved it
and
there.
And performed. And the Browns wound up with Andre Rison.
Yeah.
Instead of Reggie White.
And a big loan from a bank.
And about $8 million bucks in a loan that Art had to give
Art had to pay
a signing bonus.
That's right, to sign him up. So the big news today, of course, LeBron opting out of his deal in Miami. But the NFL has had those cases too. Boy, you would imagine that a guy like if Tom Brady ever came out, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he would be a guy that would command that kind of a deal.
He just brought a man in. It'd be no different than me. Even though Tom's 36 years old.
Right.
Doesn't matter.
No.
I mean, if you said this was it, you'd see all the suitors lined up for him this offseason.
Yeah. Absolutely. So we've got a full show for you here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford here on ESPN 850 WKNR. And we'll be back to attack this heavy load of NFL talk, Browns talk, as we get another day closer to training camp here in Berea. We'll be back right after a timeout.
On these boots and making that climb. Some days I'd rather be a no-show.